nowadays, sometimes, here's what happens often. You'll go walking outside, and you'll get on the bus, and you'll realize, I don't have a shirt. And you're like, ah, damn it. I wish I had more shirts. Wait, easy, Tiger.
Yeah.
Here's what we're going to do. Go to our website. We got shirts for you.
Yeah.
And you're like, but I'm a lady. Hold it.
Yep.
We got lady sizes now, too.
Yes.
We got various designs. And if you like one of Dave's title cards, you're like, oh, I would love that to be a shirt, but it's not a shirt. Talk to Dave. Maybe he'll get you a shirt. Shit, I just realized I haven't picked up the shirts.
Really?
Yes, I haven't. Oh, God.
I was going to ask
you about that. Oh, I'm the worst. We got some shirts. I'll pick them up tomorrow. I'm so sorry.
Mary Hook, your shirts are coming.
Okay, Mary Hook, the shirts are coming. I'm making a note to myself. I'm the worst.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Sneaky Dragon. My name is David Dedrick.
I'm Ian Boothby.
And I'm... Oh, I've done that joke before.
Yep.
I just realized it as I said it. And what I want to say is actually...
If you're not going to do the jokes you've done before,
God,
we cannot do a show.
God damn it. What I was going to say is, welcome to Sneaky Dragon, the best selection in town.
What?
That's Sneaky Dragon. Now, it's been bothering me for a while. I was driving past the store for about the 100th time today.
Okay.
And it has in quotations.
Not getting the nerve to go in. Just really want to go in, but you just don't have the nerve.
It's a stained glass store.
Ah, okay.
I don't need to go in.
Right. Well,
I think I know what they have.
Yeah.
And what they have, I don't want.
Right. Well, what you don't know is Dave is starting his own church. So, since he got his degree in
Godology,
that lets you open your own church.
Yeah.
So he's starting his own church. And, of course, being a church, you need stained glass. You cannot have traditional glass because the devil can get into regular
glass,
but he cannot pass through stained glass.
So stained glass, stained glass is not traditional.
I'm saying the devil can't go through stained glass.
That's
why all churches have stained glass. Because the devil gets confused by multiple colors.
Huh. So it says in the sign of this...
Should have learned that in Godology school.
I should have. Godology. I should have... What? Sorry. There's a store, and it says, quotation marks, says, the best selection in town, unquote. Which seems odd to me. Like, if you're just saying something, just say it. Just say, we have the best selection in town.
Yeah.
Why is it in quotation marks? Like, someone walked in the store and said, wow, this is the best selection in town. Can we quote you on that?
Well, here's the thing. I could actually...
Or is it being ironic? This is the best selection in town?
No, I don't think that's the way it's going. I think here's what it is. If you put the best selection in town up on your thing, then someone really could, the Better Business Bureau or whatever, could come and go like, can you prove it? Because if not, you got to take it down. But if you go, a dude said this, you go like, fair enough.
A dude said this.
Yeah, a dude said it, then it's okay.
Do you have to quote it like a dude after it or anon?
Well, I think it's like if you had a movie poster, right? And you put on your movie poster, the best film of the year.
Yeah.
Okay, now you just put that at yourself because you feel it's the best
film
of the year.
That's called A Knight's Tale.
Then
do you remember that?
Is that what they said?
A Knight's Tale, they actually created their own blurbs that had nothing, then they just put them on the poster.
With no quotes?
They were quotes.
Yeah, there you go.
But they pretended they were quotes.
No, I got you.
But they made up the sources.
But if you're just putting it as fact, you can't do it. But if you're putting them as quotes, well, that's fair. Even if you put quotes that you're quoting yourself, by you saying it, that makes it a quote. So that is okay. It's not great, but it's true.
Is it okay?
Yeah, because if Dave...
The best picture I've ever seen, Sony Music.
If you go my favorite podcast or the best podcast, and that's you saying it, then you could put that in quotes on our, say, iTunes page.
Oh, really?
Yes, you could.
The best podcast in town, quote-unquote.
Who cares about in town? This is the internet. In town? What the
hell? I don't want
to... Is this someone who's like only listening to local podcasts?
I don't want
to
boast.
Like the 100-mile podcast diet?
That's right. I don't want to boast.
Yeah, I just want to hear lots of local references.
From what I've heard, we are the best podcast in town.
Yeah, Dave, I was going to Pendrell Street the other day and went around the 300 block. Am I right, local podcast enjoyers?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
This is just for locals, everybody. Just for locals. And yokels. Now, Dave's doing an all Aldergrove podcast just for people in Aldergrove.
Just for people.
Yeah.
We have numbers out there. We don't have street names.
Oh, did they shoot the TV show numbers out there?
I don't know. Yeah, that's right. I don't know why they took away the names and replaced them all with numbers at some point.
Mm.
I guess to help male people.
Yeah, I guess so.
That's the only people who would be like, oh, right. Everyone else is like, oh, I lost the name of my street.
It was weird when I was in...
I used to live in Bigger Road. Bigger is better. Now it's 224th.
When I was in San Diego, they had the Bates Motel there. They had like signs for the Bates Motel and stuff.
And we had it in Aldergrove.
That's why I was bringing it
up. Oh, sorry. Forget I said that. I'll edit that out.
Always assume I'm going somewhere. Let's just go. I know we're way deep. We're like 87 episodes in. But when I bring something up, just don't be surprised that it somehow connects with something that would be interesting to talk about.
I'll just edit that part out.
Oh, yeah. You always do. But they had like the signs for the Bates Motel. And I was wondering if they actually took them like from Alder Grove, where the Bates Motel actually is.
Was.
And yeah, that's what it's a was. It's no longer existent. So I wonder if they moved it over there.
Because they built it all. They built like a motel. They built this one, maybe about six rooms, like of the spread of the motel. Mm-hmm. Then they had the sign. And then they had up behind it the house. Now, I have to admit that the idea of driving for 5 minutes from my home to look at it never occurred to me. So when I saw it was in the midst of demolition. So when I saw it, the house didn't have the roof, like didn't have the kind of iconic psycho roof.
Right.
So I don't know if it was if they built it or they just added it on after. Because, I mean, everything else they would have added on after, like all the backgrounds and stuff.
Okay.
Because it was actually built across the street from the local dump. Which was a dump. It's no longer a dump. Now it's what's called a waste transfer station, mm-hmm. in the sense that you go and you throw into stuff onto a conveyor belt. It goes into a dumpster. Then the dumpster is taken somewhere else and thrown into a
dump. And that Warner Brothers music plays the do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-
things are pounding up and down just behind you.
Yep.
Getting closer and closer.
You end up in a can of peaches somehow.
Dehydrated.
That's right. Now, here's what I didn't understand about the Bates Motel being in Alder Grove. It's like, so you build it, and like you say, it's across from the dump.
Yeah.
Now, what was there beforehand? Anything?
Just a field.
Just a fucking field.
So
right.
they obviously leased the
right.
field.
Leased the field. Okay, so here's the thing. Say you're the owner of said field.
Yes.
Now, wouldn't you just go leave it?
Why?
Because it's a tourist thing now. You've got the psycho house there and a motel. Hell, you've got a motel.
Motel hell?
You don't even have to. Motel hell is a ripoff of Psycho. You don't even have to go that far, brother. You've got the Bates Motel there. If you just turn that into a motel, mm-hmm. how cool is that? Like, fans of the show will go, like, do you want to stay at the Bates Motel? I do. Do you dare take a shower? I will. And that kind of thing. And then we look out the window. What's up there? It's the Psycho house. That's neat. You know, maybe you can stay at the Psycho house as well.
Well,
like, I don't understand why they would tear it down. Like, just give it away. People would buy it.
Well, I don't think they're built to last. So I think it would be kind of dangerous. Like, they don't build them, like, super structurally sound, I don't think.
Mm.
I think they're built kind of on the, you know, instead of, like, 16-ounce center studs, they're, like, 32-ounce center studs.
Right.
It's totally more dangerous. I don't know. I don't really know. I don't know what they do.
Now, here's my question. Like,
when can I just say one other thing, though?
Oh, absolutely, Dave.
A couple years ago, we drove up to the Adams River Salmon Run.
Okay.
Do you know what that is?
Not at all. I assume it's based on the Adams Family
TV show. It is the Adams Family TV show. And
doodle-a-doo, salmon.
They pretend to be salmon. Yeah, they pretend to be spawning salmon. Uncle Fester and Morticia and stuff, they're in the water wriggling about.
Right.
It's pretty interesting, actually, for a while.
By the way, they used to shoot the Adams Family here as well. Another that's a local reference. We're making lots of local. By the way, this show is going to be all local references.
Oh, well, the Adams River is up country. So
Michael Roberts, he was here. Uncle Fester was on our show twice.
That's right.
Local reference.
Local reference.
Adams Family. Okay,
twice.
Go ahead.
Twice is a local reference.
Twice.
So yeah, we went up to the Adams, but so then we left there and we decided that it would be fun to drive an extra hour and a bit out of our way to a different town to go to a hamburger restaurant there.
Okay.
But as we were driving along...
Build up an appetite.
Yeah. As we were driving along, we passed by a Western town. Just sitting there, being Western.
Right.
Like with a saloon and a sheriff's and, you know, just as like a Western main street.
Fake or real?
Used
to be real
fake,
and now it's
It
fake?
Was a movie set.
Now is this...
So it was a lot of flats and stuff like that.
Is this from Border Town, the TV show Border
I don't
Town?
Know. It didn't say anything. It
what
was just
area,
there.
What area was it?
This was in between Kamloops and Cache Creek in the interior.
Okay, I knew...
In an area called Sobiano, I think.
I know someone nearby. To ask. I'm friends with someone named Bev Elliott. Now, now Bev Early Elliott, aside from being an amazing singer, by the way, if you get a chance, go see her sing. She used to be in the show Border Town, which was a Western show shot in town.
Okay.
And then later on was in Unforgiven as one of the prostitutes.
Okay.
Really good. And then now she is, I think...
In the show Border Guard.
No, she's in Once Upon a Time. I know everyone just calls it Once. But she's
okay.
there. I think she's Mother Hubbard.
Oh, really?
She's some mother, and she runs the diner. That's her deal.
And Mother Goose?
No, because Mother Goose, that would be weird. She would then run everything, wouldn't she? Mother Goose would control. Wait,
yeah.
No. Mother Goose would be nursery rhymes. They're fairy tales, not nursery rhymes.
I think Mother Goose is the one who tells you the stories.
Yeah, but she tells you nursery rhymes. Mother mm-hmm. Goose does not tell you fairy tales.
But Mother Hubbard Mother is a nursery rhyme.
Mother Hubbard is a... Oh, damn it. You're right. I've made myself make no damn sense there. Isn't that true? I'm trying to think of on Once Upon a Time if they have nursery rhyme characters or not. Wait, Jack? Well, that's a tough one because Jack... Oh, damn it. Jack is a lot of things. Jack is up the beanstalk, but Jack Sprat eats
he's,
no fat.
He's nimble.
And then you got Jack be nimble, Jack be yeah. quick.
He goes up a hill.
That's right.
Did he say he goes up a hill?
Jack and Jill? No, we didn't say that.
Okay.
And he was acquitted of the crime of tumbling.
Very common name, Jack.
It was.
A diminutive of John.
It's so diminutive. Everyone named John was taller. And if your name was, if you were too short to be a John, you were
which,
a Jack.
Which is weird that you have a diminutive that's the same length as the word it's replaced, or the name it's replaced.
Oh, don't get me started on nicknames, Dave. We're going to start talking about Peggy being being a nickname for Margaret. And then, then we're going to have an extra hour on this show about that nonsense.
We'll have to get Phyllis on the show. Or Millis, sorry. Millis can go on for an hour about names.
Is that right?
And she knows everything you'd want to know about a name. She
you would love
it.
That. Then you could play the song The Name Game as well, which you'd love to.
Because
where
she works, the garden center where she works, they just had a granddaughter was born, whose name was Lily Susan, and both mean Lily. Susanna and Susan and Lily are all the same. Yeah, so Millis knew that. I didn't know that.
That's very very cool.
She has a name blog.
Oh, what is the blog?
I can't remember the name of it.
Why would you, loving father? Your daughter's got a blog.
I think she changed it. Is why.
Because you were mentioning it too much?
No, because I think she wanted to kind of move away from the name she used for it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which was?
I think it was like Haven Dean's.
Was the name she used really racist?
No. No, okay. She's not a football player. It was like Haven Dean's.
Here's what I'm going to say.
Name blog.
Okay.
Like that.
Why don't you put the link up on one of our many pages?
Yeah, I should. I should
why don't
do
you
that.
Do that? Now, here's my question back to the psychos.
Hey, before we go on, I just want to stop for a second.
Please do. Let's have a moment of silence.
One little moment, because we're 12 minutes in.
Yeah.
And I think that you probably wanted to plug a show near the beginning of the show.
Oh, I absolutely do want to plug a show. Thank you very much for bringing that up. Remind me, Psycho, and we got to go.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah, speaking
in,
of...
In Psycho.
Well, Psycho is interesting because that was the story of a serial killer. Hey, Dave, speaking of serial killers, I've got a show coming up on August 7th at the Rio Theater. Normally, I do a show called The Critical Hit Show, Dungeons & Dragons Show. We just did that yesterday.
Last night?
Yesterday, our time.
Sorry, I wasn't there.
That's okay.
Couldn't make it.
It would have been better with you, but it was
fun
without you.
I know.
But yeah, it's called Serial Killers versus Superman, What We're Doing. It's me, Taz Van Razzle, Brad McNeil, and Nicole Pastor.
Joking on Nietzsche.
There you are. And we're overdubbing old serials, and the one we're starting off with is Superman Comes to Earth, which
great.
Is a real fun one. If you've seen The Man of Steel, a lot of the same things happen in this that happened in the early parts
I'll
of
be
Man
there.
Of Steel. Cool.
I'll be there.
That means at least one person will be there.
Yeah, I'm going to be there.
And
until I get hungry, then I'm going to leave for some grilled cheese sandwich and not come back again.
Oh, the grilled cheese sandwiches are good there.
Yeah,
just
they're really
come
good.
Listen, guys, come for the grilled
there's
cheese
beer,
sandwiches and the
there's
air conditioning.
There's beer and there's grilled cheese sandwiches. I don't drink beer.
No.
But I'm just saying, if people like beer and grilled cheese sandwiches, which actually sounds kind of tasty.
Well, here's what Dave does when he comes to the shows, which is interesting. He will order a beer, then go into the bathroom and wash his hair with it.
Well, it's good for your hair.
It's totally
it's,
good.
It's good for your roots.
That's what he says.
Yeah.
He says to people who are trying to like wash their hands in the sink, listen, it's really good for your hair.
Yeah.
So anyway, you'll find Dave in the bathroom washing his hair with a beer.
Yeah.
Regardless.
I'm not saying which hair.
You're not going to. Oh, that's... speaking of Jack B. Nimble.
It is the bathroom.
So anyway, we're dubbing the serials. We're also dubbing Max Fleischer cartoons. We're dubbing old industrial films, and it's going to be fun. It's $5 if you order now on the website.
Ooh,
I will let me finish the amount.
Oh, sorry,
and then $7 at the door. So if you want to save $2, order it at the Rio thing. And if you don't want to save $2, heck, come on, just come on down and pay $7. And it's 8 o'clock on August 7th. Dave, your question.
It's 8 o'clock on August the 7th.
Yes.
That's a Wednesday?
That's correct.
And it's how much at the door?
$7. It's $7 at the door.
Totally reasonable.
Yeah.
And I was going to ask you, are you guys going to do that safety film? Are you going to dub that safety film?
We're going to dub. Are you talking Shake Hands with Danger?
I think so.
Is that the one with all the mutilations?
Yeah.
We'll see.
That's a good one.
We'll see.
Okay.
Okay. That's a disturbing one.
The best way to do that is with a person dubbing it who is not prepared for it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best.
Now, there's two that you might be thinking of right now.
The one with the mutilations is the best one.
Okay. Well, we'll talk. Dave has put a request in for the mutilation film. Listen, guys, if you don't want to see mutilations, we can work our way around it. Don't worry about it. We'll give you a heads
up. It's not as bad as it sounds.
It really is not. But it's called Shake Hands with Danger. Yeah. Okay. All right.
It's a lot of fun.
We'll see what we can do.
Particularly with someone who's not ready for it doing the dubbing.
That's right.
That makes it even better.
We will see. We will see what happens. But yeah, please come on down. We'd appreciate it. Serial Killers on Facebook. We've got a group. We've got other stuff. And if you come to the Sneaky Dragon page, Dave, could you put a link up on the Sneaky Dragon page about this?
I will.
Bang on. And we have a wonderful poster by Evil Patrick Shannon from the Rio that I'm very happy with. Okay.
Yeah, very nice.
So that's
poster.
The serial killer. Oh, by the way, and also the week after, this thing called Cause and... Well, not the week after. It's the same week. Cause and Effect at UBC. It's a sort of...
anime?
It's sort of cosplay. It's kind of everything. Oh, is it? And us, folks from the Critical Hit Show will be there doing something.
Oh, what are you going to dress as?
I'm going to be dressing as you.
You're dressing as me?
Yeah, you in the 80s.
Oh.
So what kind of shirt would I be wearing?
You'd be wearing a button-down collar.
Okay.
With a I would be a colorful shirt.
Okay.
But with an equally but opposite colored t-shirt underneath. And then you need to wear big teardrop glasses.
Okay.
Bookworm glasses. And then have your hair parted on the side, but with a rather long, as you know, rather long forelock.
Mm-hmm. Forelock is forewarn. That's what you used to say.
And jeans that just look like you shouldn't be wearing them.
Okay. And I'm not allowed to talk to girls, but they're allowed to flirt with me. But I'm not allowed to understand
you can,
that they're
you can
flirting.
Talk. You can talk to them.
Yeah.
You just have no clue what's going on.
Right. Cluelessness. That's what I'm going to be doing.
Thing.
So I'll be cosplaying as Dave at Cause and Effect. And that's
you'll be thinking to yourself, man, I have all these friends that are girls. I wish they liked me. You know, like in a boyfriend kind of way. But it's nice that I have friends.
Anyway, I got to go get married. Wait a second. I just got a phone call. Let me take this in. What? Anyway. And the other thing we should tell you is, hey, you know what? Nowadays, sometimes, here's what happens often. You'll go walking outside, and you'll get on the bus, and you'll realize, I don't have a shirt. And you're like, ah, damn it. Wish I had more shirts. Wait, easy, Tiger.
Yeah.
Here's what we're going to do. Go to our website. We got shirts for you.
Yeah.
And you're like, but I'm a lady. Hold it.
Yep.
We got lady sizes now, too.
Yes.
We got various designs. And if you like one of Dave's title cards, you're like, oh, I would love that to be a shirt, but it's not a shirt. Talk to Dave. Maybe he'll get you a shirt. Shit, I just realized I haven't picked up the shirts.
Really?
Yes, I haven't. Oh, God.
I was going to ask
you about that. Oh, I'm the worst. We got some shirts. I'll pick them up tomorrow. I'm so sorry.
Mary Hook, your shirts are coming.
Okay, Mary Hook, the shirts are coming. I'm making a note to myself. I'm the worst person.
Shoot. I was going to ask you a question, then it's like, I don't want to nag. I don't want to be a nag.
Nope. Making a note to myself. Dave, talk for a little bit as I write down this.
I will do that.
Oh,
so yeah, as Ian was saying, if there's a particular design you like,
oh Jesus,
you're welcome to request it. Poor Ian, the guilt. Oh, the blushing too.
I feel terrible.
That is the worst feeling in the world. I usually leave a party feeling that way.
Oh my God. Oh, Dave, wait a second.
Yes.
I left a baby in the car. I'll be right
okay.
back. Oh no, it's okay. I left a dog in there with it.
Oh, okay.
So
it's
the
fine.
Dog will take
yeah,
care
it'll
of
take
it.
Care of them.
It'll
it's
be
fine.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah,
and I left the windows rolled all the way up for safety.
Yeah,
no
good,
one's
good
getting
idea.
In today.
No, that's a good idea.
Everything's
and I hope
fine.
You blacked all the windows so they can't see that the baby's in there. You don't want anyone to steal
well,
the baby.
Well, I don't want them to steal my medicine, which I've left on the dashboard.
Left in the dashboard, open.
That's right, and a big bar of chocolate.
Yeah.
Wait, do dogs don't like chocolate, right?
Dogs love chocolate.
Okay, that's
not good for them.
Well, why is that?
Because...
the cats make fun of them when they get fat?
It's all in the hips. It all goes in the hips. Don't you know this expression? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's a boy. That is the first thing that goes on a dog is the hips. It's always like, oh, your dog's got tough hips. Anyway, oh, sorry. Back to Psycho.
Also, dogs can eat grapes.
That's right. Or ice cubes. Ice cubes are also very bad for dogs.
Is that right? What about Tabasco sauce?
What?
Because it's so hilarious when they eat Tabasco sauce.
Well, you put them on hot wings. Dog can't eat chicken wings.
No, if they eat something off the floor and it had Tabasco sauce on it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Okay, there we are. That's Dave's.
There's a lot of licking of nose.
That's kind of like. To be fair, that's you eating hot wings as well.
That's true.
That's adorable.
I hold them on my nose.
Okay, Dave. We're going
anyway,
all the way back to Psycho.
I just want to say one thing.
Oh,
just one more thing.
You know what? I can't get on my high horse. I left the shirts.
What
Marie, I'm so sorry. Marie.
Mary.
What?
Mary.
What the fuck? How does she spell it?
M-A-I-R-E.
Well, I would call that the other way. What the hell?
Why would you call it the other way?
Because that's I would.
Because you would invert the R and the I accidentally and say Marie.
I guess I would. You know what? This episode is a wash. It's a wash for me. Forget it. I'm going to phone the rest of this one in. I got to tell you, if you don't have time to listen to the rest of this one, that's fair. Wrap it up now. Dave, go ahead. I'm not even going to do my psycho.
I just have one word for you, sir.
Yeah.
Psycho.
Okay. Here's the thing about psycho. So when you had the psycho house and the motel there.
Yes.
So how many psycho houses and motels exist now? Because there's been
it's gone, so it no longer exists.
But at the time, the original one still exists.
It's still at Universal.
Right. And then there was
it was used in an episode of Emergency. I think we talked about that before.
There was Psycho 2, there was Psycho 3, there was Psycho 4, The New Beginning. I believe there was another there was the Bates Motel TV series. Yeah. So I'm just curious in all of those if they used the original house and motel or if they built another one, and if so,
film is actually called Unipsycho.
The
second film was Bipsycho.
Right.
The third one is Tricycho.
And what was the fourth one?
Psycho 4.
Sure. Okay, that's fair. I'm just wondering how many Bates houses were around.
I think there's just the one.
Now, there was two for a while.
Was there?
Yes, because the original one still exists.
Yes.
And the motel still exists.
But you're saying just for a short time.
When you had yours in Aldergrove and you had the other one, I was just wondering.
But I'm not going to swear on a stack of Bibles.
Right.
That the whole house was
there. By the way, Dave has that stack of Bibles because he's starting his own church.
That's right. Remember that.
Yeah.
What's it called again? Church of Godology?
Sure.
Have you taken the test?
No.
The personality test that was for the church?
That was what you got your degree in.
Oh, I got my degree in Godology.
This is the Church of Dave.
Okay. Church of Dave.
But you can change it to the Church of Dick just because it's the same amount of letters. It's in no way shortening it.
It's in no way shortening it. And Dick is a diminutive of Dave.
Is it?
I have a diminutive Dick.
Okay.
So when he drove by,
what you can see if you walk into the bathroom of the Rio Theater
and say Bloody Mary 3 times.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is it Mary? I thought it was Bloody Marie. I've been saying the wrong thing for so long. And she comes out of the mirror and goes, "Where's my shirts? Where's my shirts?
You rip-off artists.
Oh, you scammers."
She thinks Mary probably thinks we're in Mexico with her shirts.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. I'm selling Sneaky Dragon shirts. Because you know what? Here's the trick what you do, folks, to make some money. Spend like Canadian money here. Take them to Mexico and sell them there. Because they'll pay the big bucks in Mexico.
I didn't say you were selling them.
I'm going to take these to China. And that's where I'm going to sell them for top dollar. Am I getting my business plan wrong? Bring some of my Canadian drugs.
I wasn't picturing you taking them down there to sell them. I just thought you were just traveling with them. So you'd be like sitting on the deck by the pool in Copacabana. I don't know the name of this. You know, some Puerto Vallarta? That sounds right?
Sure.
Down at some resort down there.
Right.
And there beside you in another lawn chair is a shirt.
Just yeah. Me and my bag of shirts, solving mysteries, traveling around the country.
What was that shirt? What did you say? Mr. Saunders is the murderer?
Oh, we're trapped in this hotel room, shirt. What can we do? Tie you all together. That's brilliant, shirt. Let's go. Okay, shirt, I need a distraction. What I'm going to do is put you on this corpse. ABC drama shirt happens, and it's me and my shirts.
Yeah.
Yeah, traveling around.
Nice.
Yeah. It was based on a 60s series called Tailor Made, and it was about Frank Taylor, who was a tailor who traveled with suits.
Okay. I thought it was Macmillan and shirt. I thought that was what it was.
I think it was Macmillan and beard.
Yes.
But, yeah. Oh, that's the thing. Did you remember when in Macmillan and Wife, a wife died, and then it was just Macmillan?
No.
And everyone really got over the wife being dead real fast, like really fast. Like it was just, oh, I miss my wife. And we're off. And
well, there's not so much to distract you when you're Macmillan.
He just seemed to fancy.
So did he have like girlfriends or?
I do not know.
Or did maybe, I wonder why. I wonder what happened.
I believe it's on Netflix right now if you would like to go see see that.
Okay.
Yeah. For sure the Macmillan and wife, but then afterwards it was just Macmillan and me.
Macmillan and meh.
Yeah, just Macmillan.
Should have been Macmillan and .. And they would have like guest stars each week.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd solve their problems using fantasies.
Did they ever team up any of the ABC Mystery Movie folks? Like, did Columbo ever go see McLeod? McLeod ever go and see Macmillan? Macmillan ever go and see, you know, any of those folks? Did anyone ever see the Rockford Files?
Well, you're asking the wrong person.
No, I'm not.
Because if Michael Roberts was here, he'd just be like, and tell us right away.
Oh, you mean the Addams Family guy?
The Addams Family guy.
Did you finish that story?
What was the story?
About your salmon run? You went salmon, then you went
burger? Yeah, I told you about the town.
Oh, okay. I thought it was going somewhere. Like,
oh, no, so I just wanted to mention the town.
Your story was you passed by a western town.
Well, okay. I'll tell you the other part of the story, which is that I hadn't overheard there.
Okay. Well, hey, Dave.
Yeah.
Wait a second. Overheards.
I know. That's a thing.
That's a stop never, asking yourself.
I'm never going to be in
the
show.
That's also the Fitzdog Radio, who started doing those after Stop Podcasting Yourself.
What? That's not right.
I agree with you, David. I agree.
This is my overheard.
Could you call it something else?
Overheard.
No.
Heard over. This is a heard over.
Okay. Heard over is fine. How about an eerie heery?
So
this is Dave's eerie heery.
I was standing on a bridge looking at salmon below, and they were like in the water. I'll just say the Adams River Run is you go up to see the salmon coming up for spawning.
Right.
So there's all these poor salmon who left the ocean, swam up the Adams River.
Yeah, the rich salmon have taken a boat.
Taken
they've
a boat.
They've all chipped in and they've taken
right.
a boat.
That's right. They're on a cruise. But the other ones have to like work like dogs, work like salmon to get up this river. And then you see them finally, and they're there, and they're falling apart.
Yeah.
Because when they start to get up close to the spawning grounds, they start to rot.
Yeah.
And they turn red and everything. And they're just, but anyway, they're in this, we were sitting in there with some in this pool near like kind of an area. I guess they were looking for a place to lay their eggs and
yeah.
To do the fertilizer.
Because if you want a nice time on a summer's day, go to a place with a lot of rotting salmon.
And there's this.
That's a smell.
It's nice. Oh, yeah. And then you go down farther, they're like just laying everywhere, like just tons of them laying all over the rocks. But this was one of the largest.
And then
that
is there tons of birds
time.
Just going, hey, time to eat some salmon?
I didn't actually notice that
there
many birds
be.
There.
Must be. Nature must
I don't. Yeah, I would think that they
smart
would
clean up nature.
Up.
Get on
nature,
that.
Yeah. But I was standing beside this lady, and she was looking down the water, and she says to her husband, fish like water.
Okay, let me tell you. How old was she?
She was getting up there.
Like, what, in her 70s?
Maybe.
Late
60s? Maybe around there. Late
60s. All right, here's what I'm going to say what happened to her. She's on vacation. I'll tell you exactly the scenario
okay.
that happened.
Okay.
Her family was taking her on a little vacation.
Yeah.
They're driving with Grandma.
Yeah.
They're driving with Grandma, and Grandma's been shooting her yap off about her opinions on everything. And at a certain point, you know, about the gentleman who liked the gentleman, and the people of the different races,
yeah.
and the politics and the this, and the this and the that. And finally, one of them just turned and went, if you say one more controversial fucking thing, you are walking home. And so she went, okay, I'm going to say nothing controversial the rest of this trip. And it's like, and she's really trying hard. And then she runs into you, Gentleman Dave, and goes, she's got so many things she wants to say.
Well, she didn't say it to me. She said it to her husband.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely she did. Because he's going to rat her out. Because he's fine with leaving her on the side of the road. So he's just waiting for, like, say mm-hmm. it. You've got some opinions about the environment. You've yeah. got some opinions. And she's like, fish like water. And then he looks at her and goes, okay, we'll let that one pass.
See,
it's certainly warm out today.
Yeah. Isn't it?
Isn't it? Not that I'm blaming anything or anyone for that. But fish indeed.
See, that's a very nice reading you've given that story. Because
yeah.
I would not give that story.
Okay,
my reading
story
of the story
okay.
is that this woman
is an idiot.
Is an idiot, yeah. It's just, she just has nothing to say. She's the most banal person you'll ever meet in your life. Mm-hmm. And she's reached that point in her life where she has nothing. You know, have you ever talked to your mom and dad over dinner? And you're talking to them and you realize, my God, they have nothing to say to me. Like, this is so dull. Like, there's nothing left. After the nagging's over and comparing me to other people who are more successful than me that I used to know, what is there left for my mom and dad to talk about? Nothing. Nothing at all.
Well, I remember I always used to ask my dad, how was work? And he was like, that's terrible.
Yeah.
That was the end of that.
Yeah.
That was the end of that. You know,
no good stories, Dad?
No, that seems like that would be where you'd start the story.
Yeah.
And like,
yeah.
Let's hear her. That sounds interesting.
Yeah.
But I was like, nope, nothing to talk about. Let's all just sit silently.
Yeah.
Well, like, I assume when you and your family, when they sit around the table, you're yapping.
I don't let them talk. I want absolute silence when I eat.
Right.
I'm not joking.
Just tink, tink, tink. Scream,
awkward.
Scream.
No, I'm joking, of course. But I knew someone who lived in a house like that.
Are there books at the table?
No.
It's just yapping?
No books or phones allowed, yeah. Just,
okay.
just yapping. And usually a lot of almost falling out of chairs laughing at things that happen.
No, that's not good. That's too bad.
Why?
You're just making it harder on their spouses in the future, having to maintain that
yeah?
level of entertainment at dinner.
I'm trying to rack my brain trying to think of something we were talking about last night because...
Well, what did you eat first of
Phyllis
all?
Phyllis was almost falling out of the... What did we eat last night for dinner?
Yeah. That'll probably help trigger it.
We had hamburgers last night.
You had hamburgers?
Yes.
Nice. What do you put on a hamburger?
Relish, mustard, ketchup, meat.
Cheese?
Cheese sometimes. Pickle.
Okay.
Onions, lettuce, and tomato.
Okay, so you're sitting around the
and
table.
Mayonnaise.
Everyone's having a Miracle Whip or mayo?
Miracle Whip.
Okay, very good.
Mayo's not as good as Miracle Whip.
Well, we can discuss that at a later time. So we're all eating burgers,
mm-hmm.
and you say to them... Speaking of burgers.
No, I can't remember. Sorry. This actually came later when we're eating the pie.
What's your beef, darling? I made some blueberry pie. Something along those lines.
No, it wasn't. I can't remember. You can try and... I can't. Sorry.
Nope.
It's so weird. Like, sometimes someone will say a joke and you're like, I'll always remember that joke. I'll never forget the day
right.
that such and such happened. And then it's gone. Like,
well,
the next day.
That's like sort of... It's always weird at night where you get an idea and just go, well, that idea is so goofball. There's no way I'm forgetting that.
Yeah.
Gone. Gone. Wash. Clear. Like, boom.
Did I talk about my... I think we did talk about the time that I had a dream about... meeting SCTV and
Whole cast.
Yeah, yeah, I was performing a sketch with them.
Right. I don't think we've talked about
that. Okay, and I woke up and I thought it was so hilarious.
Right.
And I can remember this great sketch, and so I reached over the side of my bed and grabbed some paper and I wrote something down, and then I put it aside and I went to sleep. And in the morning I woke up and I remembered, oh, what was that thing? And I looked at it. It said chicken soup. That's it.
And nothing. You could not recall.
I could not. Didn't. But someone else was telling.
To be fair, it was probably better than Vikings and Beekeepers.
Is that one that you?
That was one they had.
Oh, okay.
Was Vikings and that's the one that was that they consider their worst sketch ever was Vikings and Beekeepers. It cost an enormous amount of money. It made no sense.
Yeah.
It was just like them all dressed as Vikings and Beekeepers on the boats, and it was Vikings and Beekeepers, Vikings and Beekeepers, and no one got it, and even the people who wrote it didn't understand it, and it was just like, what the hell did we? Yeah.
So that sounds great, actually.
It does sound great. You can see why it got made. But after it got made, you might go, why did it get made?
One of my customers, when I was horseshoeing, she told me the story of her sister, who woke up one night and she had this brilliant idea for a song. And so she sat down and she wrote out the lyrics for the song that she had dreamt, and then, of course, put it aside, went back to sleep. In the morning, she woke up, remembers, oh, I wrote this great song last night. But takes her thing and says, you got to know when to hold 'em. Know when to hold 'em. Not helpful.
Nope. Wow, that's interesting. It's weird thinking, like, just the stuff you consciously remember that you forget,
mm-hmm.
and just thinking, how much stuff do you just forget?
Yeah.
Like, how many just ideas that are neat during the day that if you, like, went, oh, what was I thinking about this morning? Nothing.
Yeah.
When you talk to those people who say they've got total recall, what's that like? Or a photographic memory? What kind of, how do you keep it all in your brain, man?
Eidetic.
Even my computer can't hold it all. I go looking at old emails and they're gone. It couldn't take it.
Well,
how
I was,
could you?
I was so happy. My nephew posted an exchange we had a little while ago. I don't know if you saw it on Facebook. I guess he found it in his messages and thought, oh, that's so funny. I'm going to post it. Because I guess The Wicker Man and another film were playing at the Rio.
Oh, I think so. You might want to say it out
okay,
loud.
Okay. So I wrote to him and said, I said, these movies are playing, you know, you really should see them. And then I just put in capital letters, do not read anything about The Wicker Man, just see the movie. And then he wrote, would it spoil it if I said I saw the Nicolas Cage version? And I said, it would spoil it in the way that if I said I saw my dinner as shit in the toilet, you know, that would spoil it. So he put that down. And I thought, oh, that's kind of funny. Like, oh, I'm glad it's there because I didn't remember saying it at all, you know, like. It's just weird. Like something you can just say a joke and it's gone forever. And that's why I keep my daughters around because they always like, Dad, remember the time you said blah, blah, blah? I'm like, nope. But it's funny. I'm glad I did because
now
was I good.
Can take credit for it.
It's good.
Yeah. I mean, right now I'm in the process. I'm writing a bunch of sketches for The Irrelevant Show right now. And it's just remembering things. So it's like going through the old tweets, going through the old posts, going through the old stuff. And just like all the scraps of paper I've got lying around and trying to make a lick of sense out of these things. I'm like, okay, all right. Okay, all right. All right. Socrates. Do people still think Socrates is funny?
Yeah.
Yeah. People do?
Sure.
Oh, good, good. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Socrates. Am I thinking of the right guy? So, now, who's the king who chopped the baby in half? Who's that guy? Is that Socrates?
That was Solomon. That was
Solomon. King Solomon.
He didn't chop it in half. He said, we should chop it in half.
Right.
One said no, and what other said yes, and then he knew who the actual mother was.
Right. And my angle on that is I wanted to have that happen, and then him go, thank God that finally worked. Because it's been a rough week.
Yeah.
Knew it would work.
Yeah.
Here we go.
That's good. Yeah.
So did he ever do anything else smart besides that?
King Solomon?
Yeah.
Besides
write the movie King Solomon's Mines?
Well, he found the mines
mm-hmm.
with a compass.
Right, but the movie was Richard Chamberlain, so I assume he also wrote the screenplay for that.
Socrates did?
Yes.
Or Solomon?
Solomon.
Socrates wrote the screenplay, actually.
No. No, Socrates, no. He wrote the sequel.
He wrote the method.
He was a method actor.
He's a method, a Methodist.
Hey, everybody, we're jamming.
We're losing our marbles.
You know what we're doing? It's called heat exhaustion. We got the old gold pans out. We're in the old Western town. And we're shaking it out. I'm like, hey, Dave, what'd you find? I found a Sophocles. No, it's a Socrates. Okay, what you got? Method acting? Methodology. Method to his madness. Meth is his madness. He's on meth.
Dangerous,
meth lab.
Dangerous method.
Dangerous meth.
Dangerous meth lab.
Danger Bay. Is there anything in that? Nothing. Okay, throw it out. Back into the thing.
Breaking Bad.
Electric Boogaloo.
Breaking Wind. Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah, is Breaking Bad a sequel to the break-in movies of the 80s?
I think so. Yeah, I think it is, actually. Yeah,
you heard about really the guy from Breaking Bad cosplaying as his character at San Diego?
Which actor?
The actor from Malcolm in the Middle, that fella.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he dressed.
I can't remember his name either.
He dressed as his character.
He's in every movie.
Heisenberg. He dressed as Heisenberg, and had the rubber mask of himself. And
okay.
Just was walking around as that guy, and yeah, then at the panel he took it off, and it was whoa.
That's cool.
It was pretty cool.
That's great. Yeah, he's in every movie, right?
Yes, he's in every movie.
He's every movie made. He's one of those actors like that British actor whose name escapes me, but he's in Sherlock Holmes. And then he's in movie, that one with the
who does he play in Sherlock Holmes?
Kick-Ass. He plays the villain. He's the villainous.
You mean in the second Sherlock
Holmes?
No,
the first Sherlock Holmes.
I'm trying to remember.
He's like the lord who they gets executed or whatever, but then he's not really dead or something.
Yes, that guy. Okay, yeah.
You know, he's like, I think his name's Mark Stone.
Sounds about right.
He's in everything. He's like in The Guard. He's in Kick-Ass. He's in everything. He's in the movie based on the, what's it called? Darn it all. The spy one.
Tinker Tailor Soldier
Spy?
Yeah,
that's right. He's in that movie.
Yeah.
It just seems to be like in every movie.
Well, I think what happens with an actor who's been around a while but has not hit it big.
Carter.
There you go. And then hits it big.
Yeah.
You know, is they don't make the same mistake that younger actors do, which is go, I've got to build my career. I've got to be picky. I've got to only take the right roles. Because when you do that, usually you get a couple of stinkeroos and then you're done.
Yeah.
If you're that kind of guy.
They were saying Ryan Reynolds.
Boy, he tries hard. So when you've been around a while, I think what you feel is, I just want to take good acting parts. I just want to take stuff that, you know, some good scenery chewing. I'll do some bit parts all over here.
Yeah.
And it's smart because then later on, future filmmakers will be going through these films and they'll go, oh, that guy. When, again, you will be forgotten your second time, which will probably end up happening. And they'll go, oh, yeah, that guy. Bring him back. You know, and we'll use him. No, it just makes sense. And you can tell that they appreciate it more. They're like into it. They're like, yeah, I get it. I'm not trying to become something. I am what I am. I'm a working actor. And now I just want to work as much as an actor, doing as much interesting stuff as I can. Mm-hmm. And it's not just, you know, build into that super great payday because, you know.
Yeah, well, obviously the actor who plays Walt on Breaking Bad comes out of that same mold, you know, where he's in Drive. And he was in... that I can't remember the name of it now, but it was a Tom Hanks movie with Julia Roberts.
Something like that. He's also helping Adam Carolla with like a new film he's doing.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. He's involved with that?
Well, he's got Adam Carolla as a Kickstarter, and so he's helping him promote that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, he's that kind of guy. He's also the kind of, you can tell like...
Well, you know, Adam Carolla probably needs a little help from us promoting his Kickstarter. We should mention it. I'll put a link on the...
Please do.
I'll put a link on our...
But like, when you see a guy like that on... also same with like a John Hamm or something like that, or even Alec Baldwin. You get a guy who's like an actor, and then you get him on Saturday Night Live, and then they're just amazing.
Yeah.
Because they've been around long enough that they're really good and not taking themselves too seriously. Okay. You know?
I know that... Alec Baldwin is really good on Saturday Night Live. I have not seen John Hamm.
John Hamm is fantastic on Saturday Night Live. Okay. Yeah.
And what's shocking is his name isn't pronounced John Hammum. I'm just surprised.
Why is that?
Because there's two M's, so it should be John Hammum.
Listen, I'm not making fun of anyone's pronunciations of names because I'm getting that wrong. And I forgot the shirts. I'm not putting anyone down for the rest of this. I'm so positive.
I can ride around on my high horse.
You certainly can because you can chew it. You can chew a high horse.
Oh, I thought you said I can chew it.
Nope, you can chew it. You can chew a high horse because you're a tall man and you can farrier.
That would have been better for me, actually. The bigger the horse is, the better because for my back, yeah.
It is interesting, like even in anything, like even like in comedy or almost any art, when you see a person who's past that point of trying to build a career and just wanting to like do the good work and do the good stuff, and you're like, ah, there you go. It's just relaxing to watch them, and you can tell they're having a good time, and they're just into it, and they've got enough skill to deliver.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing against youth. Ah, bless youth. It's adorable.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's also, you're going for something that doesn't exist.
You're talking about the bass player for Killing Joke, right?
I am. Yeah. Yes. I thought so. Yes. And I'm also talking about Alan Moore's The Killing Joke.
That was a very disappointing book.
It was rough. Yeah.
Yeah. It was very disappointing.
It was, rough.
Why'd you say rough?
It was rough as in it's just too mean. Yeah. It was like, it kind of was the pinnacle of the let's get real dark 80s.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like started with Dark Knight and you're like, oh, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. But it's okay to do Dark Knight since the rest of Batman is fairly light.
Yeah.
It's a nice contrast. But now when you make everything dark and shadow, now it's just like, ugh, everyone's having a race to the dark.
I don't think Alan Moore intended it. No, Alan Moore. I don't think Miller intended it.
To be dark? Then he chose the title wrong.
He wanted it to be dark, but I think... It's to me, it's fairly campy, The Dark Knight. Like, there's a certain over-the-top element.
But
of
when the Joker dies
silliness.
Cracking his neck with a batarang in his eye socket, that's not something you would have seen previously
to
that.
But it's not done in like a grisly way, though.
It's pretty.
Do you think it's grisly
For the time? Yeah, I don't think there was. I think it was about the most grisly and mainstream that you could get. At the time,
I wouldn't doubt. Yeah, I wouldn't doubt that.
What's more grisly than a batarang in the eye socket? Cracking your own neck.
How about if it severed his penis, cut off his testicles,
okay,
and then he bled out on the ground?
And then what happens?
That's
Is this a Chester Brown story you're talking about?
And he's leaning over a chair,
right,
looking at a Playboy magazine.
Now, I think it was probably the darkest mainstream comics I got. Well, aside from, it was just silliness. But I would say Michael Fleischer Spectre stuff was gruesome as well, but not in that same way.
Yeah.
You know, no one, I don't think anyone had, you know, because, you know, Seduction of the Innocent made such a big deal out of the injury to the eye motif. I don't think people liked stuff sticking out of eye sockets before then. And that was like one of the first times you'd see that business.
Okay.
And then Watchmen came out and people, I think, took the wrong lessons from that, you know, and didn't do the fully developed characters and just went, works. And then Killing Joke, they went, let's really make it dark. And I think Alan Moore since then has like regretted. What he did with that, and also especially since the crippling of Barbara Gordon stuck around for a very long time.
Okay, is that come out of Killing Joke?
Yeah, that comes out of Killing Joke. That's the Joker shooting her through the spine.
Oh, okay, I read it once, so a long time ago, and said that's fine. Close.
Brian Bland is an okay artist.
Yeah, he's very good.
Yep.
I like his Judge Dredd covers and some of his Judge Dredd work
he's a better cover guy than he is.
Yeah, because he's a bit stiff. A little overworked. Yep. I just feel like there's not much dynamic thing. It's kind of better posed.
But covers, aces.
Great, yeah. I was just going to say about Watchmen. The problem with Watchmen is that everyone ignored the fact that there was, you know, all these different characters. They just all kind of glommed onto Rorschach as a sort of ideal of superhero-ness, and that became the template for till now.
Well, he was the new. I mean, everyone else was, you know, something you'd seen before.
He was an extreme version of Mr. A.
But no one had seen that.
I guess that's true. No one really read the Ditko obscure fanzine.
And black and white Ayn comics. Rand was not, you know, I mean, it was around, obviously, but there probably wasn't a lot of crossover with comics. You know, not but the other deal. Characters were all characters that you could go, oh, yeah, that's this guy, and that's just a Batman guy, and that's Blue Beetle, and that's who do. But yeah, Rorschach was just a whoa. And it's the new. People like the new, but then don't make everything the new.
It's partly the new. It's also partly the nerd fantasy of someone who is an outsider who gets his, you know, can hold his own and can fight back against it and blah, blah, blah. And at the same time, he is the most moral character in Watchmen, you know?
Is he?
He's the only one who will not... compromise.
He will not
with evil.
Compromise, but is that moral? Is it moral to not compromise?
Well, I mean, it depends what. Yeah, I would say
that's
it's
the
not
question of the book.
It's not. It's moral to not compromise.
Okay, so if at the end of the book they reveal,
it's a bad thing that happens at the end of the book to me.
Okay, let's go. It is a bad thing that happens.
Yeah.
Okay, but it's a debatable point.
Is it?
I think. Yes, of course it is.
Well, how do you mean debatable? Like it's
been
okay
debated. It's been debated, so I would say it's debatable just by the fact that it's been
okay,
debated.
Okay.
Yeah.
But no, I'm just saying, for you, it's a debatable point. Like, you can see a good point
absolutely.
to what happens there.
Having if the world was leading towards nuclear oblivion, and someone finds a solution to it and goes, this is the only solution to it, but it involves a lie. But you will...
And millions of people dying.
But more people would die otherwise.
Okay.
Millions die.
That's not for
well,
sure,
actually,
but okay.
Was it millions? Or like... New York, I guess millions. So
it has a population of 30 million people.
Did everyone in New York die?
As I say, if you have a population of 30 million people,
yeah,
a fairly large area gets destroyed, it's going to be a million, millions of people.
Absolutely. Millions die, but billions would die. And everyone...
Possibly die. Possibly die. It's not guaranteed that, they're going
to
die.
It depends.
In the story,
yeah.
When you look at what's happening to Ozymandias, you have to read the Black Freighter story as well. Because the Black Freighter is about Ozymandias, mm-hmm. right? The story of this person who... In their madness to help us.
We're talking about Watchmen again, folks, by the way.
In their madness to help
us. Someone wake up Richard Starkings. Richard? Richard, wake up. We're talking about Watchmen. Okay, hey, buddy. Good to see you.
His madness.
Elephant Men, by the way, just turned 50. Why not pick up an issue? It was really good. Okay, go ahead.
Please. Great. Congratulations. 50 is... That's an achievement in comics.
It really is.
Sure. Because that 50 issues is 5 million hours of work.
Oh, God, isn't it?
It is.
Ridiculous. Okay, so you're reading the pirate story.
So you have to read
the... Meaning you're in the small percentage that read the pirate story in Watchmen. A lot of people...
Really? Don't you think people skip that?
I think a lot of people skip
that. Well, then they miss the whole point of the stupid... Not stupid, but of the comic, if they didn't read those stories.
Let us know what the point is.
Well, because the moral, you know, of Ozymandias is in that story, of this man who, in his desire to warn the town mm-hmm. of this coming onslaught, you know, does... unspeakable things to get there.
Right.
You know, just like Ozymandias. And when he gets to the town, all he does is I can't remember the exact ending now, but he doesn't
It stuck
help.
With you so much.
Well, it's been a while since I read it. Yeah,
You've read it more than once.
I've read it twice because I got the graphic novel, but I didn't like the graphic novel compared to having it in comics.
Well, let me throw this out at you then. Okay, so yeah, Ozymandias could be wrong. Could be wrong.
Very wrong.
Could be very wrong.
If he's wrong, he's very wrong.
Okay, but now let me throw in another character.
Okay.
This is a fella called Dr. Manhattan. Now, let me tell you what this guy can do. This guy sees the past.
Yeah.
This guy...
Sees his past.
Sees his past.
Yeah.
But this guy also sees the future.
His future.
Right. But his future, like, if the world is destroyed, he would see that.
Yes.
Because that's part of him. He would see that occur. Okay. So this guy, who's got more perspective than any of us could ever have, mm-hmm. he goes, yeah, good point. Yeah, this works. And does not, and goes, let's let this go. And that's where you got the dilemma.
Well, him, I mean, he's not a moral arbiter. He's not a moral
he's
person,
not
though.
Moral.
He's not a
he's
moral
logical.
Person. He's
logical.
Is he? I mean, he's still emotional. He does emotional things
right.
as Dr. Manhattan.
Right.
So I wouldn't say he's entirely logical.
No, but he's doing
what he has this strange perspective that renders his life meaningless.
Right. He's got a different perspective than us.
That renders his life meaningless. He says that.
His individual life meaningless.
Yeah, but I mean, so he doesn't care what happens. You know, he leaves. He just leaves because it's like, oh, this is getting too crazy. I'm leaving.
Right. But he was mad a second ago.
Yeah.
He just figured this out.
Yeah.
Goes, yeah, you're right. Good point.
Yeah.
I'm going to take off.
He's also dying at the same time.
Right.
In this horrible accident. He's meeting someone. He's leaving her. He's mm-hmm. having sex with her. And you know what I mean? Like, all these things are happening.
Right.
I don't think of him as a moral arbiter. I mean, the problem is it's hard to make Rorschach a moral arbiter because he's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's literally an insane person. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to... But I would still say he's the moral person. That he has seen... Ozymandias is kind of a day tripper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's just... He's not really out there like Rorschach is. Rorschach has really stared into the abyss.
Mm-hmm.
He's really looked at the monsters.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? And he's made his decisions based on that knowledge. I mean, he knows how terrible people are.
Mm.
Unlike Ozymandias, who sits and watches television, and his view of the world is based on
He knows how terrible people are, but he believes things are black and white. And that is not true. Things aren't black and white. People can be a little bit bad and a little bit good, and mm-hmm. people have good days, bad days, and
sure.
people can have some redeeming qualities. You look at someone like the comedian, who is clearly bad,
yeah.
and yet has done some good.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have other people who are clearly good, and yet have done some bad. And that's not the way Rorschach looks at things. It's
no.
either good or bad, no in between, and that's the Steve Ditko, as you say, Mr.
Yeah.
A.
Yeah.
thing, which I think is not correct. Things
no,
aren't just good and
it's
bad.
It's crazy. But even though, like I said,
yeah.
even though he's crazy,
yeah.
he's the moral person at the end of
he
the story.
He is moral, but being moral isn't necessarily the best choice.
I think it is.
Oh no.
I think not murder is better than murder.
But everyone would be dead if they went with him.
Would they?
Yes.
You don't know that.
Yes, I'll say I think I do.
You don't know that though.
Smarter people than me in that book believe it.
Not necessarily.
One guy who is the most intelligent person in the world thinks
who's,
yes.
Who's Ellen Moore?
That's Ozymandias, believes yes. So that's the most intelligent person in the world. Has he got any backup? Well, indeed he does.
Who's his
backup? Who is his backup? He's the fellow who could see through time.
I don't think he's the backup.
He's the backup in that he lets it go through.
Yeah,
yes.
But his
that's
attitude.
His backup is he doesn't kill the guy and reveal it.
He's indifferent.
He's not indifferent. He makes a choice to let it go through. He could choose to end it, or he could choose to let it go through. He chooses to let it go through. That's a choice. That's not indifference.
But I mean, his choice is through it is because of his indifference.
It's not in. Okay, I don't see it as indifference.
He doesn't care. He doesn't care what happens to people or what's happened to anything.
Well, if he does have emotions, he can say...
They say in the book, he's become more and more disconnected.
He does, but God, you know, I mean, you have a teenager go, I don't care, and you know that they care. The more you say you don't care, you care.
But I don't think of him as... he's not a teenager having a temper tantrum.
Let's get Alan Moore on the phone! I'm gonna give him a call. Hello, David. It's me, Alan Moore. I'm by my toilet tonight, and I'm having a bit of a... a worship here. I hear you're starting your own church, Dave. Good luck with that. Remember, the devil gets in through clear glass.
We'd like to thank Michael Caine for playing Ellen Moore in this
episode
of Sneaky Dreams.
You're supposed to blow the bloody doors off. Anyway, I got to get back to writing another story about rape, I do. Off I go.
Goodbye, Elfie.
I'm flushing myself down the toilet. This is how I travel. It's like Harry Potter. Goodbye, David. Goodbye, I'm Ellen Moore.
What?
I'm Ellen Moore in the toilet, David. I can see you when you poop.
What's it all about, Alfie? That's all I know of that song.
Alfred is also Alan, isn't it? Is it a diminutive of Alan?
That's right. Alfred is a diminutive of Alan.
That's right.
Yeah. That's right. It's one of those longer diminutives.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Hieronymus is a diminutive of Adam.
Here's the thing in those Batman movies.
Uh-huh.
Commissioner Gordon and Alfred the Butler, those guys age great. They age fantastic.
Yeah.
You see them when they're little Brucey is 8.
Okay.
And he's all sad.
Yeah.
And now he's like 28.
Yeah.
Those guys had a good 20 years, man. Look, aged well.
Unlike,
smooth.
Unlike Obi-Wan.
Right. That guy aged bad.
He aged really badly.
Right. Here was just something I've been talking with people lately. I don't know if I brought this
You've
up.
Been talking with people?
I have.
Oh, okay.
Not on podcast, so it's okay. Did I bring this up with you, my problem with the whole Tatooine and Mos Eisley?
No.
Okay, here's the thing.
Oh, wait, maybe you did, but go on.
Was this on a previous show? Or
it might have been.
I'm not going to bring it up then.
Okay.
We'll listen to a previous show and we'll see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So the thing about Obi-Wan is that guy's an asshole.
Obi-Wan is an asshole?
Yeah.
Okay, wait a second. Wait a second.
Okay.
Because for me, the prequels don't exist.
Oh, they're fine.
So is he still an asshole if the prequels don't exist?
I don't know. Why is he on Tatooine?
Why not?
Well, you got to find... Well, it depends if he's an asshole. Like, the Empire's turning to shit, right? Like, everyone's getting murdered and horrible things are occurring. And you're building a Death Star.
Yeah.
And you're in your cavey cave going, boo, I'm sad.
So is Yoda.
Yeah, both of them are assholes. So are both of the... Well, because, hey...
What are they going to do?
What are they going to do?
Yeah.
I don't know. Go into the Death Star, kill some people and start some shit, push some force shit around. You know, train some Jedis, perhaps?
You can't train shit. I mean, you could. I guess he could, but...
Why can't you? Why don't you train him in your holes?
I mean, yeah, you could. In those movies, the Force is for everyone.
Right.
It doesn't become a select group. It doesn't become apartheid until the prequels.
Well, you're not... We're not talking the prequels. You've
said
they don't
exist. That's right. They don't exist.
Okay.
So
why is Yoda and why is Obi-Wan... Why is it cool that they're in their hidey holes when the universe is turning to shit?
If they step there, they get killed.
Who cares? You're Jedi.
Wait a second.
You're worried about getting killed as a Jedi? Shut up. Like, I understand Obi-Wan's supposed to be keeping a little eye on Luke.
Yeah.
Make sure he's okay. But guess who? No one's keeping an eye on Leia. No one. No one's keeping a fucking eye on her. So this
how
whole...
Do you know?
Because they were not. Here's how I know. Because it never got mentioned ever is why.
Yeah.
Also, if you're trying to keep an eye on her and your plan's going to get blown up, good job.
But you're still judging them.
She got kidnapped by Darth Vader. Nice job, guy, keeping an eye on Leia.
But here's the thing. Obi-Wan lives on Tatooine.
What about it?
He lives on Tatooine. Why can't he be there?
Why can't he be there?
Yeah.
Because the universe is turning to shit. That's
is it?
Why.
No, it's perfectly fine.
The universe is.
It's just,
they're building a Death Star.
Okay.
The Empire's taken over everything. Things are horrible.
But isn't it always been that way?
What? No, it hasn't.
Yes, it has.
How so?
Well, that's when the movie opens, the Empire is in control of everything.
What does it say, like, in the opening scroll? Does it say this has always been the case?
It doesn't say anything about it. It says, I don't know what it says,
all
actually.
All right, what was his job as a Jedi? What was his, all right, ignoring the prequels. Prequels don't
okay,
exist.
Yeah, prequels don't exist.
So what happened to Obi-Wan to make him, like, get in his hidey hole? He used to be a Jedi.
Yeah.
All the Jedis are gone,
mm-hmm.
except for this guy.
Okay.
Turns out Yoda as well, but we don't know that yet.
Yeah, we don't know that yet.
Okay, but let's just say we know it because now we're like two movies deep. Now we know there's two Jedi.
Do you really think he's an asshole?
Yeah, because he doesn't do anything. Like,
it's but
like,
what's he supposed to do?
Well,
I don't understand what he's supposed to do.
I kind of get Obi-Wan.
He's an old guy. He's in his obviously he's like in his
late
60s.
He wasn't an old guy like when Luke was born. Even if he wasn't Ewan McGregor,
yeah.
You know, back then he was a younger Alec Guinness.
Okay.
He can blow up a bridge over the River Kwai. He
shouldn't have done that.
Well, that's a different story.
He says, "What have I done?"
That's a different story.
What have I done?
And then he goes to Tatooine.
What have I done?
Is that why he went to Tatooine? Because he was upset about the bridge over the River Kwai?
Upset over the bridge over the river. But I mean, he could be upset about lots of things. I mean, oops, if we listen to his story of what happens with Darth Vader,
right.
That he has a friend who betrays him,
right?
You know, that's psychologically upsetting. Okay. That's a reason to withdraw.
So here's the thing.
It doesn't make you an asshole that you've had terrible things happen to you.
Here's the thing. It's World War II.
Yeah.
And you're part of the
French... The Nazis take over.
Right. You're part of the French Resistance.
Okay.
You have a buddy, and your buddy is named... Well, that wouldn't work, because basically your buddy becomes... Well, Goebbels, let's say. You got a buddy called Jacques Goebbels.
Yeah.
All right, and he's like, we are going to fight together. And yes, we are. Wait. And then your buddy goes like, I'm joining the Nazi party. And like, oh, no. Well, I'm out of the war.
Yeah.
That's enough war for me. I'm going to go live in the mountains of Switzerland.
But I don't think it's just that. I think...
I'm going. Bye.
The
That's okay.
The Nazis... But it's not just... But no, it's after that. I mean, the French Resistance is fighting against forces during a war. They have support from outside groups and stuff like that.
All right. There's not a war, but there is a rebellion.
But we don't know when that starts.
Okay, but seriously, you should be involved. Like, I kind of get that Obi-Wan is looking after Luke. I'll give you a little of that. I'll give you a heartbeat of that.
Okay.
That like, but he's still not super good.
Yeah.
But maybe you're looking at Luke every so often.
It's not the right time.
It's not great.
Okay. It's not the right time.
For what?
For whatever you're thinking you should do.
The Death Star just got built. When
it's
were you
being
going
built.
To? No, it's shooting planets out of the sky. It's gone, man. The Alderaan's blown up. How much more do you need?
Well, Alderaan isn't blown up. Alderaan gets blown up when they're approaching Alderaan. When they come out of hyperspace, they discover the planet's been destroyed by Darth Vader, who destroys it with Princess Leia on the Death Star in order to make her scared.
And Obi-Wan goes, I sense that
I sense something in the Force.
Something in the Force, yeah. Right. Okay, fair enough. He hasn't blown it up yet. But you know what he should know? He should know the level that things are at. With that Death Star.
I don't think Tatooine's in the center of the universe.
Look, the guy can feel a planet blowing up. He can get a message. Okay, so anyway. So that guy, I'll give you, he's babysitting Luke.
Okay.
Maybe.
Okay, I don't think that.
The
but
way
okay.
things are right now, there's two guys in the universe that have Jedi powers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, two guys.
One in the next film recommends that Luke not go to confront Darth Vader.
Okay, that's fine. You know, he's playing a long game. All right. So you got your Yoda.
Why isn't Ben Obi-Wan playing a long game?
Here's the look, Luke.
And when the opportunity presents itself, he goes right into action.
Who?
Obi-Wan.
Yeah, but not Yoda. I'm cutting you some slack on Obi-Wan right now. Let's go to Yoda Town. What's with that fucker? What do you mean you're living in the jungle, little marshy bit? What's that all about? Fucking get up there and have a fight. You're about to die, old man.
That's not what
And yet you can lift shit out
no.
of the pond.
See, you're judging the films on the prequels.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not. Because
you think he should fight.
I do.
He should not fight.
Why?
Yoda should. That's not the Jedi.
The Jedi way is not to fight?
Not to fight, yeah. Like, you shouldn't be angry.
No, you shouldn't be angry.
Yeah.
But, okay, if the Jedi way is not to fight.
Yeah.
Okay. First movie, mm-hmm. we're going to a bar. What's
yeah.
going on?
I know.
And a guy's having a little discussion, and it's like, this guy doesn't like you.
Yeah.
I'm cutting your arm off.
I know.
I'm sorry. That's not that passive.
It seems kind of odd. I admit it. It's not well written. I'm just saying in terms of what...
Well, we can go well written or not. We're just talking, does it exist?
Yeah.
Yeah, and the existence is like, this is a guy who's like, I'm going to cut your arm off if you look at me sideways.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. So that's the Jedi way. They're not passive by any means.
Well, I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. The stuff that Yoda says in Empire Strikes Back.
Mm-hmm. What does he say?
I can't quote it verbatim, but basically
says, "Give me a ride on your back," and then goes, "Wee!"
But basically, what he says is to be a Jedi, you have to be you're not violent,
right?
You're not
fear
aggressive.
Leads to anger. Anger leads to hate.
But
hate leads
more than
to
that,
suffering.
He says more than that. He says there's a long speech that he gives talking about
right, okay,
about Jediism,
right? Because you don't know if they knew what they were backstoring.
I mean, yeah, and I mean, in the first film, I mean, the stuff they did in the first film was more because it was neat, right? That film's about, oh, that's neat, let's do that. Oh, that's neat. What's more maddening is the things that Obi-Wan says that make sense in the first film. You know, where he's talking about, and possibly obviously lying to Luke, but possibly not, possibly telling him the truth. We don't know
about
what happened to his father.
Mm.
You know. It's lying if we know the prequels. It's the truth if we don't, you know, or it could still be a lie. I mean, It's however you want to read how Alec Guinness does that.
Right. Speech. If you think like Jedis can lie. Can Jedis lie?
Well, I think they can tell white lies to someone to protect them. I mean, if your worry with Luke is that he could turn to the dark side, because that's already in him because of his father.
Right.
Then your goal is to keep that away from him until he's trained. You know, he has obviously his, if he's his father's son, he inherits that strength of the Force.
But just going with the first movie, what's Obi-Wan's motivation for being in that cave?
Is it a cave? I thought it was a house. But anyway, okay.
All right, whatever. They go in the cavey area and he's there. He doesn't have like a villa. Like it's no, a, he's living that'd be like nice. He's a hermit.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's got hermit thing. Yeah. So what's his deal? Like once you find out that like what can that guy do? Well, let me tell you what he can do. Mm. One, he's really good with a lightsaber.
Yeah.
Okay. He's got that going on. Yeah. Two, he can make people change their minds by waving his hands and make a stormtrooper or someone who's simpler minded.
Yeah.
Okay. That seems to me that's a good guy to have as a spy or in a fight or whatever. Like you could be doing a lot of good stuff for this battle, and you've decided to sit it out but as a conscientious objector.
Well, here's my.
Because you had a bad day with your friend, and he made you all sad, so off to Tatooine you go.
But also, wouldn't he be like a wanted man? And wouldn't Yoda be wanted? I mean, as soon as Yoda appeared, everyone would know, you're Yoda. Well, like, you are kind of recognizable. You're a little green person with pointy ears.
Is Yoda the only guy who's his race?
He's the only one you see that looks like that.
Is he the only one who's his race?
I don't see anyone
else. Is
he
the only Muppet? No, he's not. Because in the third film, there's that guy who laughs a lot.
Who's that?
It's Crumb, I think his name. Salacious Crumb.
Oh, Sir Laugh-A-Lot.
I think his name is Robert Crumb. He's always like riding this kind of large woman.
Oh, he's riding on someone else's back.
He's the guy who's going, all the Jabba's jokes. He's basically what Jay Leno's sidekick is now on the show. Okay. He's that guy.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Was there any Muppets in the first film?
Luke Hamill? Mark Hamill. Darn it. I can't remember people who... Sorry.
Oh, Luke Hamill. I feel bad because the...
I'd walk a mile for a Luke Hamill.
You know, former guests and delightful chums of the show, Alex Robinson and Mike, what's his name?
Mike Dawson's not involved with what you're going to talk about. No.
Yeah, right. But they just got a nice write-up on the AV Club for their Star Wars Minute. They cover this stuff better than we do.
But well, they do and they don't, because I often feel frustrated because they'll say, okay, the prequels don't exist, and then they'll base their exegesis on reading of the prequels included into the movie, which I don't actually like that very much, because the things they say are right. Because of the ineptness of the prequels, it does make Star Wars look bad.
Yeah.
But it shouldn't. It was a standalone movie. When it came out, there was no sequels and there was no prequels. Yeah. It was just what it was. When
well,
you went and saw it in the theater.
No, it wasn't. Because it said episode 4.
Well, yes.
So there was something that happened before.
Did it say episode 4 in the theater? Like when it opened?
Originally it didn't, and then shortly afterwards
it did. Well, I saw it the week it opened in 1977.
Okay.
I went with my friend for his birthday to the Vogue Theater in Vancouver.
That's right.
And that's where I saw the movie, because I was fucking looking forward to it, because the commercials made it look like the most awesome movie that was ever made. And I turned to my dad and I said, this is the most awesome movie that's ever been made. And my dad said, nah, I don't know.
Yeah, because your dad didn't talk to you, because it was dinner time and it was shut up time.
No, we were at my grandma's and I saw this commercial.
It was shutty uppy time.
And I couldn't believe it. And I was sitting on my, you know, I was sitting on my haunches or cross-legged or whatever in front of the television. I just turned around and said, this is going to be great. And my dad was like, no, I don't think so. But.
So you just gone through puberty and you had your haunches. You just got your boy haunches.
This has been grade 5, so.
Okay.
No puberty yet. That's why I'm still interested in Star Wars. When puberty hit, Star Wars went out the window.
We had very different puberties.
My friend's birthday was coming up, and I was like, okay, man, it's your birthday coming up, so you have to ask your mom to take us to see this movie. And he's like, okay. So he asked her, and she's like, okay, we'll do that. So it was just the two of us who went. She drove us all the way downtown, and we went and saw the movie first week. And no one, hardly anyone was there.
Yeah. Back when you could get into movies.
Well, it was just that the hype hadn't started yet.
Yeah.
Like all the crazy hype started like later.
The only movie I remember like us ever showing up for and never be, and not being able to get into, which seems so strange, was The Shaggy D.A. That was the only movie that sold out that I ever remember.
So that might have been one of the smaller theaters in New West as well.
This was in Delta.
Oh,
not Delta. Sorry. I mean in Greenfield Park.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, back in Quebec.
That was weird, wasn't it? Well, The Shaggy D.A. would have been contemporary. But what was weird was being taken to the theater by your parents, and then you saw a black and white movie, like The Absent-Minded Professor, because Disney had re-released it to the theaters.
Oh, okay.
And your mom and dad are like, oh, it's a Disney movie.
I never saw a black and white film when I was a kid.
Oh, okay, yeah. I mean, obviously there were color movies.
We had black and white TV, so everything was black and white.
I hear you, sir.
And then it went color. And then we were told, if this TV breaks, we're not getting another TV because it's too expensive. And it was like, oh, Lord, what would happen if this breaks? And yeah, it was like, if that picture tube blows, that's it.
Yeah.
So it was like, don't turn it on too fast. Don't turn the channels too much and blow the picture tube.
Oh.
Then we won't have TV ever. Now you go down the street, you buy 5 TVs for a nickel.
It's ridiculous.
People throw out their TVs. I see TVs like by the garbage and it says working TV, take it.
Yeah.
No, shit, get lost. Take a hike TV.
Wait, that's only a 46-inch screen. I don't want that.
Take a hike TV that cost $1,000 5 years ago. You see you in hell, jerkwad. Yeah. Amazing.
It's true. You're right. So let me backtrack a little bit. It is a really good show, though, Star Wars Minute. I've been listening to it quite a bit because it's fun. It's usually they talk for about 5 minutes, and they analyze each minute of Star Wars minute by minute. So it's kind of fun. So, yeah. And I haven't seen the film for, I don't know, since 1978. So
that'd be an interesting commentary track to have synced up with the movie, and then you got to pause it, listen, pause it, listen.
It'd make it quite a long movie.
So if you don't believe in the prequels, does that mean the Tennessee Williams Hutt character does not exist to you?
What Tennessee Williams Hutt
character? Well, Dave, I'm glad you asked. There was a TV series called The Clone Wars. Now, you might be thinking about the anime, you might be thinking about the CGI one. Well, I'm talking, brother, about the one released to theaters. There was Star Wars The Clone Wars, the movie.
I did not see that.
And in there was a character who was a Hutt.
A Hutt, okay.
Now, it's...
Is this a walking house?
No.
Oh, okay.
Dave, this is not a good movie.
Oh.
Okay. It's got some okay bits.
Uh-huh.
And when you hear the theme playing, you're like, ooh, this sounds interesting. That is just the Mos Eisley thing. But there's a character, and he looks like Jabba the Hutt, but he's wearing, I believe, a Hawaiian shirt. And this is what he sounds like, Dave.
Yeah.
Well, I swear, look at y'all. How are you all doing here? Listen, so y'all...
Is it based on Roger from Family Guy?
No, that's based on Paul Lynn.
American Dad?
That's Paul Lynn. Okay. That's this guy. And bunch of Jedi's coming in here. Next to block. No, this is the Tennessee Williams guy. Now, listen, I don't want no trouble with you Jedis. Listen, all I want to do is I keep your force to yourselves.
Why did he lisp?
Because he is a very effeminate,
southern gentleman.
And Jabba is his cousin, I believe.
Does he show everyone his glass menagerie?
It's a character that stops the audience cold. Like you just saw in the audience just divided in two, and one went, fuck you, movie, and the other went, okay, this just got interesting.
Yeah.
Did you just do a Tennessee Williams Hutt? Because, all right, okay, if you're going to go big, go fucking big. And so I'm all for that guy. I don't like that movie that much. I think the Clone Wars series is so-so. It's okay. But that character, oh, that's gold. Bring that guy back for all the movies. Bring Southern Tennessee Williams Hutt. And
he should replace Jar Jar Binks.
I'm sure Jar Jar will fall into a Sarlacc pit in between now and the future movies. You know there's going to be more movies, right?
Yeah, that's fine. They can do what they want. I'll probably go see them, but that doesn't mean that they exist in terms of Star Wars.
If you want to keep, by the way, Luke safe, maybe Tatooine's not the best place.
Star Wars consists of only two films.
Oh, you didn't?
Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back.
Oh, Return of the Jedi does not
count. Does not.
So there is no Jabba the Hutt for you.
There's no Jabba the Hutt.
So right now to you, Han Solo is still frozen in carbonite.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
It's a kind of a sad ending.
It is a sad ending. Mm-hmm. Luke with his mechanical hand.
Yeah, going zip, 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 zip.
What the hell? Why do so many people lose arms and hands?
Carelessness.
That sounds fair. You know what it was good to? What was that guy? Is it Astro, the robot on Planet Danger? They used to show that ad all the time. And it was this robot that would be on Planet Danger.
Okay.
And it's like, I am Astro, a robot. I can lose an arm. You can't. So you smarten up.
Yeah, they show him doing gymnastics through a laser thing.
Yeah. And they also go I live on Planet Danger. Maybe that's your fucking problem. Maybe it isn't. We should watch what we're doing.
Yeah.
Maybe you should move off of Planet Danger, you idiot.
Then he'd say
Planet
to you,
Danger.
He would say to you, what are you, pussy?
Well, he has no feelings. He has no soul.
That's all right. I am programmed for sarcasm.
We should, you know, eventually we're just going to get replaced by robots.
That is good. Then it will be Sneaky Robot.
Hey, Sneaky Robot would probably do a lot better than Sneaky Dragon, frankly.
We should change it?
We'll talk about
it. Is that what you're
telling me? Yeah. What we should do is wrap it up and we should start working on robots right now.
Okay.
I did a Popular Mechanics for Kids episode where I show how to build a robot. I'll run that episode for you and we can build our own robots. So next week around this time, it may be a couple of robots that we've built. Bill and Ted's second movie style.
Okay.
That are here now. To be fair, the robots may be evil. You don't know whether or not you're getting evil or good chips.
I prefer to say amoral.
Yep, there you go.
That's just call me Ozymandias.
That's right. That's something an evil robot would say. It would claim to not have morality, and then it would destroy you.
This is for your own good. I am saving millions by killing you.
I got to get that list of Blade Runner questions to ask you.
In the future, you will fall into a machine that will kill millions of people, so I must kill you now.
Why does no one make robots sound like that?
I don't know. It's
speaking a
great
of
sound.
Southern accent.
Wait, I make people sound like that. Do you want me to? I will make a robot who talks like this.
Like that. I remember Texas.
Hello, Ian.
Texas Instruments computers used to have a speak and say, and they had a bit of a Texas accent because they used that. So it was like dog, D-A-G, dog. Okay, I think that's D-A-W-G.
Huckleberry Hound is doing the
doing
the thing for them.
Well, good for him getting a job.
Finally.
That guy just ain't worked a lot because I never got his deal. Is he depressed like Droopy? Is he happy all the time?
Did he whistle Year of Jubilo wherever he went?
I don't know what you're
talking
about. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, in Tex Avery cartoons, there was Droopy, and then there was the wolf character. Who had the hi, y'all?
Yeah.
Who kind of took over? Who was kind of taken over
Jinx
by
Jinx the wolf?
Is that his name, Jinx?
Jinx.
But he would always whistle that doo-loo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
Yeah, it was Pixie and Dixie the mice, and it was Jinx the wolf.
So that's,
you know, the old
that's
story.
The Year of Jubilo. That's the name of the song that he's whistling.
Why did a wolf hang out with mice? That made no sense.
And
hey, Hanna-Barbera. All I know is they all had neckties.
They did, and collars, celluloid collars, and neckties. Because they were classy.
It was sad when you saw the Flintstone kids. First of all, because of the Flintstone kids. And then Fred still had the necktie and go, does that guy ever not work for a living? Also, by the way, you work like doing a blue-collar job. Why do you fucking have to have a tie?
He's classy. All Hanna-Barbera characters are classy.
If he was classy, why doesn't he wear pants?
But no, you didn't answer my question. Did Huckleberry Hound whistle that song?
I don't think he did.
Okay.
No.
All right.
And he had a southern accent, and so did El Cowboying, the Quick Draw McGraw.
His was, well, I guess it was Southern. It was more of a Western, but yeah.
It was Western, but it was definitely a Southern.
Kabong!
Yep, because that was a superhero.
Hey there, Bubbly!
Yep.
Oh, I keep overloading my mic. Sorry, everyone.
With hilarity and old references. this is your daughter's now scrambling at the computer to see what's
Wikipedia.
Papa talking about.
Wiki that!
That's right.
That's a new name of our show. Sneaky Wiki.
We'll talk about Hanna-Barbera's character some other time and bring Torin back on.
Yeah, that's a good idea. We should do that.
I miss that guy.
I do. I miss him too. It's been a while since I saw him, a couple weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so we're going to wrap this up now. If you do get a chance, please come see Serial Killers versus Superman. That's at the Rio Theater on August 7th.
I already said I am.
All right, fair enough.
Oh, wait, you're talking to the audience.
And then Cause and Effect is later that week, and we'll be doing some stuff with that. And shirts. Buy some shirts.
Yeah,
have some shirts. And just write to us. We like hearing from, we really do like hearing from you, even though for some reason I don't send you shirts when you ask for them. And I don't know how to pronounce your name, even though it's easy to read. So I'm a boob. I'm the boob of the week. I'm going to put my picture in a frame, mm-hmm. Shaped like a boob, and put it on the wall.
And one of our listeners, Thomas Calloway, wrote in to say that I looked like Stephen King, which I don't see it. And I don't have the world's greatest self-image.
Well, you wouldn't see it if you looked like Stephen King because he's got one of those eyes that goes that way.
Has an eye that goes that way? Is that from his van accident?
No, that was previous to that.
Really?
Yeah. I don't want to insult Stephen King. He's a nice fellow.
He has a lazy eye.
And
he's not a lazy guy.
Nope.
Judging by the millions of pages of crap that he's written.
What? David? David?
Yes.
He listens to this show.
I wasn't saying it in a pejorative way. I just meant lots of stuff.
Were you saying it in a diminutive way?
Yeah.
All right.
Pages and pages of crap.
All right, David's going to go back to Alder Grove and live in the remains of the Bates Motel.
Yes.
Which I've got it. Okay, this is the one last thing.
Where
I've
Norman
say.
Keeps his mother.
Did I mention this to you that at Comic Con they had signs there that said Norms,
okay,
Normans and Normas, and that was like the washrooms.
Okay.
And I thought like when I saw that I went like, but it's a cross-dressing thing. So the Normans are the Normas. This makes no sense. You could go in either.
Oh, is it a reference to Psycho?
Yeah, Psycho. Oh,
okay.
It made no sense. Anyway, all right, that's a whole
thing. I thought it meant like normals.
No.
This is where the normals go, and then there's another one for
psychos.
For abnormals. Abnorms
and
abnormals.
AB normals. That's right, yeah.
Abnorms and abnormals.
Exactly. Okay. Anyway, we're making ourselves laugh, and that's important. I always say if I can make just one person laugh, then that's probably Dave, and that explains our ratings.
Well, I always say if I don't laugh at my jokes, who will?
Yeah.
That's the question I have. Oh, everyone take a drink.
Yeah. And there's my ride, as every hack comic ever says. And we'll wrap it up here. Thanks again for listening. I've been Ian.
I've been Ian.
Right. Oh, wait. You were supposed to wrap this one up.
Oh, yeah. I was supposed to wrap this one up.
You wrap it up.
I've been David.
I've been also. I don't fucking care. All right. Love to y'all. Take care of yourselves. Put on sunscreen, because it's dangerous out there with the sun.
Yes.
And drink a lot of liquids.
Beware of ants. Bye, everyone.
Bye. Come on, people.
There's only so much of us you want. Just ask our wives.